Welcome everyone to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get your information at carlsoncast.com. Today's special guest is very exciting. It is Mr. Bobby Collins. It's episode number 91. And now Rochester's cuddliest muffin. It's Mr. Vinny Paulino.
It's disgusting.
It's delightful.
Did you call me a muffin? What?
Cuddliest muffin.
A cuddly muffin.
Oh, a cuddly muffin.
It was more disgusting than a gut muffin.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought I was supposed to be insulted, but now I'm like, oh, I guess.
You just assume that, people are going to say mean things.
I've been compared to a cupcake before.
Yeah.
You're doing bits now?
It's my show. Welcome to the Comedy of the Carlson Cast, everybody.
Moist and delicious.
Moist and delicious. It's a great episode. We have a legendary performer tonight. He has worked with iconic people in the entertainment world.
Mm-hmm.
He has been a vice president for Calvin Klein, the Calvin Klein Corporation. This guy's got a crazy story, and he's a super talented comedian. He's here for a special three-show engagement this weekend at Comedy the Carlson. Tonight and tomorrow night, August 2nd and 3rd, you get your tickets by calling 5854-COMEDY or visit carlsoncomedy.com. Bobby Collins is going to be here.
Yeah.
Bobby Collins.
I do not remember not knowing who Bobby Collins was.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that terrible sentence.
It's a good sentence.
You've known about him your entire life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to talk to him. We're going to ask him a lot of questions. I personally am going to nerd out about how he opened for Sinatra.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be a great story.
Got to be a Frank story.
And Frank looked at me and said, Bobby, you're coming with me. Like, it's, I don't know. There's got to be something good.
Yeah. Hopefully it's better than that, you know.
You tell me it wouldn't be the highlight of your life if Frank Sinatra looked at you and said,
it just wouldn't be a great story.
Ross Cupcake, you're coming with me. And it wouldn't have been as nice when he said it.
No.
It definitely would not have been as nice.
There would have been some worse words in there.
Yeah. But you know what, though?
I still would have been thrilled.
But you know what? He still would have let you be part of the show.
Oh, that Frankie.
Old Blue Eyes, chairman of the board.
He was very open-minded as long as he sold tickets.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, let me tell you something. The second Sammy Davis Jr.'s ticket sales dropped...
Gone.
Drop that Sammy. I got nothing. That's terrible to say. He's dead. Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, all sorts of people he's opened for. Diana Ross, I believe. So he has been doing casinos, all sorts of stuff. We have a ton of questions for him. And if you would like to ask him questions yourself, feel free. The text line is open, 585-484-0265. That being said, I am not feeling so hot this week.
Really?
I'm recovering from my wife's race this last weekend.
Oh, just watching your wife run a half marathon?
Yeah, I'm tired. I'm very tired.
That seems plausible, actually. I don't know why I even laughed at that. That just sounds like a real thing that would have happened.
I am so out of shape, I'm recovering from someone else's athletic achievement.
From standing outside in the heat while she ran.
6 hours.
Wow.
It was at Bristol Mountain, which is like a ski mountain here. And they're doing zigzags up and down the mountain for 6 hours.
In the dirt part?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I used to do a road race in a circle around that place, and it was steep enough.
They're running up and down it.
Wow.
I don't want to be judgmental. Everybody I know who runs has... So all of my friends who run have horrible health problems related to running.
Right.
Is she doing okay, I guess?
Well, she married me, so I don't know.
Mental health,
definitely insane. You know what, though? I feel like it's a terrible thing to do to your body.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing to do to your body.
Yeah.
And mine, because I had to sit outside at Bristol Mountain.
I mean,
it was like 90, and just sitting out there for 6 hours. The only thing I had to do was listen to reruns of this show and kick out.
Pretend to laugh.
In that big,
for the
giant
benefit of bystanders.
Open parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I sat next to the mountain. Hillside, you know?
Oh.
It's really nice to stare at a mountain all day. I didn't paint or nothing.
You didn't bring your watercolors?
Didn't bring my watercolors.
Well, there was your mistake.
Didn't have my speaking spell.
It's really on me. I didn't even bring a book. I just figured, this won't take long. 6 hours.
How do you run for 6 hours? You can't run for 6 hours.
She tell her. Tell her.
I will.
She did.
It's
6 hours. I don't know.
I've got $5 on Jessica in this fight.
I got $5 on Jessica in any fight.
Yeah.
She's a pit bull.
She's scrappy.
I married a scrappy lady. So we're going to be back with Bobby Collins in just a little bit. Hopefully this coffee will start kicking in.
Yep.
So don't forget, Text your questions. Text line's open. And we'll be right back after we tell you about the shows coming to Comedy at the Carlson soon.
Hey, everybody. Here's the shows we got coming up at Comedy at the Carlson. We have Bobby Collins this very weekend, tonight and tomorrow, August 2nd and 3rd. Joe DeRosa, town favorite, August 8th through 10th.
Which town?
Thea Vidal, August 15th through the 17th. And Pete Davidson, one night only, August 17th. It's sold out. You can't come. Sorry about that.
You've done those jokes 3 weeks in a row.
I know. Kevin Farley, August 22nd and 24th. Ron Funches, September 5th through the 7th.
At least you're not doing Tony Bennett this time.
No, I'm not. And September 12th through the 14th, Harlan Williams. Doug Stanhope coming back on September 24th, one night only. Get your tickets quick for that one. We have Sashir Zameda on October 17th through the 19th. And Vicky Barbalak, November 21st through 23rd. Ah! And Pete Corelli on December 12th through the 14th. You need tickets, visit carlsoncomedy.com or call 5854-COMEDY. We'll see you at the show.
We'll be there. I love how we started the morning complaining. Like, I was just complaining, but we have, like, an amazing guest, and I was still complaining.
Yeah, it's just your lot in life.
Pretty much. I'd like to welcome to the studio our headliner this weekend and our very special guest, Mr. Bobby Collins.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Hey, Brian, adjust this camera. Lower it just a little tick for me. I want to make sure Bobby looks nuts. Look at that. Look at that face.
There we go.
Yeah.
The famous face of Bobby Collins. So, sir, welcome back to Rochester.
That's good.
It's Rochester. It's been a while since you've been here.
Oh, God. Maybe, what, 15, 20 years?
No.
No?
No. I remember the last time you were in town because I wanted to go see you and I couldn't go.
Oh.
You played the Joke Factory. In 2013, I was very excited to go.
Look at you.
And then
with
I was out of town.
Stash.
You.
Yeah, man. That's why That's why they let me sit behind the desk, Brian, because I remember things.
If you were at Joke Factory, you probably never left the general airport area.
Right.
So, yeah, you probably don't recall.
Right. It was literally like a layover for Bobby.
It was just a long layover.
I went to the University of Buffalo.
I know that. Yeah. I know that. You are upstate New York's kind of your thing, Western New York.
I always liked it. It's common. I live in California and New York.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And just to come here, it's just... Oh, it's like God rubbing your shoulders. It's a good feeling to come.
This time of year.
Down to earth people, no crap. California, it's all bullshit. You know what I mean.
I do.
New York gets you nuts.
Last year
I did 48 theaters. I'm up to 43 this year.
Wow.
So to do a club and to come and relax and do this right there, in, out tomorrow. God, it's nice.
So this is like relaxing for you then.
Oh, God, yeah.
You're just keeping that. You just 48 theaters last year. You're up to 43, and we're just two thirds of the way through the year.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
I've been lucky.
You grew up in New York City.
Yes, 12th and Broadway in the village.
12th and Broadway in the village.
Nice.
So
still live there.
You still live there.
I bought the apartment that we were brought up.
That's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, the doorman when I was a kid, the doorman's sons. Are still the doormen, so I've known their families.
What is it? What do we still operate by the caste system?
Is that crazy?
Like, how are they still?
You were born a doorman. You shall remain a doorman.
I know. Where does that come from?
There should be upward. You should be like.
Thank you. You don't want to say nothing though.
One of them should at least be the soup by now.
Thank you.
Tell me the truth. How sad does the son look every time he opens a door? Does a little bit of his soul die?
I know. You look at people and they go. You know, we're sharing the planet with a lot of different types of people. We got to start thinning out the herd. Gene pool could use some chlorine.
I mean,
I don't judge.
Let's keep moving. I really feel like I need to analyze the situation because there's so much there. A generation of doormen in the family. And it's not exactly a profession to aspire to either. It's not even like... I was the president of this company, and one day you're going to be the president of this company.
Ironically, it's their last name.
I don't get it.
Dorman?
Yeah.
Bobby Dorman?
Bob
so
and Johnny Dorman.
It's good to
Dorman.
Come from New York.
Yeah. So you grew up there. You bought the house that you grew, the apartment that you grew up in.
Yeah.
How long ago?
38 years ago.
You bought it. Wow.
Yeah. Then so, I bought the one next door, because now I have a 40-foot deck in Manhattan.
Nice. Good for
and
you.
And it became the number one. It's people ask me. I live in Santa Monica, California, and I live in, you know,
yeah.
And it's the two number one zip codes in the country, in New York. And people look at me, money people, these
yeah.
people. Bobby, mm-hmm. how did you know? I go, how did I know? I had a studio apartment. It was $600 a month. I moved out, moved to Brooklyn Heights, which was a 20-minute subway ride. I had a third-floor walk-up in a brownstone, two bedrooms, two fireplaces, living room, dining room, for $650. I rented my little studio out in New York. I moved over to Brooklyn. Cost me $50 a month.
There it is.
You nice. Have to work it in New York.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, ahead of the market. Ahead of the market.
I know.
Very
my
proud
wife,
of you.
My wife from Italy, she looked at me, and she, when I met her, she goes, this is your apartment. I went, yeah.
I feel like everyone who's lived in New York City for more than 15 years is kind of a real estate expert.
You know it.
You
do
know
it.
Yeah.
You do know it. And, you know, it's just a crazy place. It's just
yeah.
California, so, do-de-do-de-do. You know, it's just different.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan either of the California.
Not me either. My
no.
wife loves it. We live near the ocean, and it's beautiful. But the people, all they care about is money. You know, money is their god, where they live, how they live, where they sit in a restaurant.
Yeah. And I've always said New York comedy versus L.A. comics, like New York City comics versus L.A. comics.
Yeah.
New York City comics suck. They're where they suck.
Right.
L.A. comics, they suck, and they think they're going to have a Netflix special in 6 months.
And most of them will.
Yeah, it's not far off.
Most of them will.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, there's one club there called the Hermosa Comedy and Magic Club.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best club in California. Because anytime I need to work out material, I go there.
Mm-hmm.
I call them up. They go, Bobby, come on down, sure. And I'll work a new piece out that I mm-hmm. take out on the road or something.
Yeah.
So growing up in New York, where were you first exposed to like stand-up? I mean, did you go see live shows? Was it television?
Sure.
What was it?
Well, when I was a kid, my parents used to watch the Ed Sullivan Show. So when you saw different guys come on, you were like, oh, wow. I'd watch, see them laugh. My parents, you know, we were poor.
Sure.
You see your parents laugh and make them mm-hmm. feel good. And then I used to go to a club called Catch a Rising Star. I used to take dates there. And the girls would say, Bobby, we saw three comics already. Let's go. I go, no, here's cab money. You go. I'm gonna watch.
Really?
You know, Freddie Prinze, David Brenner, things
yeah.
like that. And I go, I can do this. I got to do this. This is what I was supposed to do. And I did.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were sitting there in the audience going, I got this.
Yeah.
You had one of those hold my beer kind of things. You're like, I could, yeah, just let me go do this.
I can do this. I knew I could do it.
Okay. Well.
And you were working at Calvin Klein at the time?
Yeah. I was
yeah.
vice president.
Okay. Well, at least you didn't have to give up a good job to start doing
I didn't
stand-up.
Like it at all. I only worked there a year and a half. And matter of fact, all the people that would come in from different upstate New York, all around the
yeah.
country, Iowa. I go, what are you guys doing tonight? There'd be 7, 8 of them. They're buyers. And I'd go, I do stand-up comedy. Why don't you come over to Catch a Rising Star? My orders were huge. So then one day they called me and they go, we're going to make you vice president. I go, you have 6. And they go, I go, does it mean more money? They went, yeah. I go, call me emperor. I don't care.
Vice president.
Yeah.
Give me a raise.
And they
the
would all come at
Calvin Klein.
I didn't care.
So literally, you sold off of personality. You got everybody having a good time,
right.
And they bought right. They just ate it up.
Garments are so cheap, people don't understand it. You know, it's, in other words, and I learned the business quick.
Yeah.
In other words, a t-shirt like this costs maybe $1.30 to make, depending on the name. If it was Calvin Klein, it's $35.
Right.
If it's Levi, it's $12.
Right.
People buy the person; they don't buy the. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People buy the person.
Yeah.
Yep.
If there was a lesson to learn this morning, people mm-hmm. buy the person.
That's why when people ask me about comedy, don't talk about getting laid, this and that, pussy, that. Talk about how you feel about things. Let people see who you are, and that defines you as a comic.
You know, I've gone back and listened to some of your more recent stuff, because I remember, you know, watching you for years, and I went back and I started watching your recent stuff. Man, I love the way you frame stuff.
Thank you.
Because you do exactly what you just said. You really practice what you preach. You know, your comedy is your reactions to the world, and that's what I love about it.
All I do is hold up a mirror and show people themselves. You know, and you look into people. Don't look at. Look in.
Okay.
That's why my biggest thing is when I work at a club, like, and then the opening act comes over to me, Bobby, can you watch me? I go, no. You know, don't, and can you give me advice? No, because a lot of them don't have egos.
Yeah.
Because you can tell, shave, you're hiding yourself from the audience.
Yeah.
You beard. Da-da-da-da. You know, they don't see it.
Interesting. So I got to backtrack here because I feel like we skipped a couple steps. And some of the things that I find most interesting about comedians is that very first decision that I'm going to do it, going from sitting in the club watching to going to the stage. You just went and did an open mic?
I went over to the bartender and I said to him, what do you do? How do you get on the stage? He goes, you got to come here on Mondays, line up and sign up. And I said, okay. And I got there on a Monday at 5, and I got number 13.
But Marino's number.
Huh?
Dan Marino's lucky number.
And then I got there that night, Monday nights, to do open night, you know, in number 13. But everybody and their brother stops in, David Brenner, Freddie Prinze, because they got a full audience.
Right.
So by the time I got on, there's 11 people left in the audience. It's 12:30 at night. Everyone had left. And I'm going, I'm not going to learn much from this. But I still went and did it.
Yeah.
Then I went to other clubs.
So you did this one show. How would you say it went? How were you received by the crowd that first time out?
Not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah, bad.
Above average.
I saw the potential of where I was going.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to look at yourself. You got to see what you know.
So you're telling me you go from Friday, Saturday night watching a show to showing up on Monday and doing a show, and you were prepared and you had some material that went over. That's incredible.
I wrote some material, and they only give you 5 to 6 minutes.
Sure.
So I knew what I was going to talk about. I didn't know the order of what I was going to say, but by being on a stage, I felt comfortable.
Yeah. So what year was this? Just out of curiosity, what year are we talking here?
88.
Okay.
89? I don't know.
And it didn't take you very long before you were actually, like, working. Right.
I was lucky because a guy came over to me, and as I was doing Catch Rising Star, I became a regular.
Yeah.
And then a guy came over to me and handed me his card, and he said, have your agent call me. I went, my parents?
I
didn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I handed it to, there's a lot of people in New York at the time that one guy was from a company called, an agency called ICM.
Uh-huh.
And I handed him his, the card. I go, this guy asked me to have, he goes, where'd you get this? I go, some older guy came and handed me. He goes, do you know who this is? I go, no, some older guy. He goes, this is Cher and Frank Sinatra's manager.
Wow.
And, he called him, and then the next thing you know, I was on an 88 city tour with Cher.
Wow.
Yeah, and now, for like $500,000. I was making $15 to $20
a
night.
Holy crap.
On a set.
I'm going to sit back here for a minute and just process that.
Yeah.
The reason why I said it must have happened fast, because we were talking earlier in the opening, I'm not that old, and I don't I don't remember not knowing who you were. Like, I just remember you being on TV and being around and stuff as long as I can.
Well, that made it lucky because it got me out of clubs.
You know?
It got me out of that. I didn't like the clubs. Kids screaming. So now I'm opening for people. And then from Cher, I went to Sinatra, Julio, Dolly Parton. But then I wanted to be the star. I didn't want to just open for these people. Great money, bought homes, this and that. But I wanted. So then all of a sudden, people see you, and Hollywood's that type of place. Then I became the host of VH1 Stand Up Spotlight.
Yep.
You guys probably don't remember.
I do remember that one.
I remember it very well, yeah.
And Rosie O'Donnell, then me. And then I did a bunch of movies, just parts in movies. That's Hollywood. Because they don't go with so much if you're good. They go if the people of the public recognize you.
And that's
cream
the
rises
business.
To the top. Shit floats for a while, then it sinks. You see that with right?
Yeah. Brilliant. So, okay, you're going from clubs to opening for Cher. The nuts and bolts of a set for doing for that type of audience is probably completely different than doing a stand-up club. What was that transition like for you?
The first one I did, she had 32,000 people in an open field.
Oh, my heart hurts thinking about that.
My armpits were wet right down to the sides of my underwear. because I've never.
Yeah.
All right, and I had to learn quick. You look up and far, because everyone wants. That's why I do these theaters. Everyone wants you to make you feel like you're talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk on the stage. You look around, you do your bits,
yeah.
You know, rather than, hey, so where are you from? Oh, yeah, 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 you're the club crowd.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, I got a lot of jobs.
Because you knew to look forward.
Well, you knew how to, you know, for example, Chris Roach. Do you know who he is?
Chris Roach?
Yeah.
Chris, isn't he a director?
No.
I'm thinking of somebody
Chris
else.
Chris was on, okay. Kevin Can Wait. He was a comic.
Okay.
He's like, he was an ex-New York cop. One night I stopped in from doing the Westbury Theater to a comedy club called Governors on Long Island. My wife was with me. I go, let's get out of here. Let's go home. She goes, come and see this guy. He's real funny. I went in. He was hysterical. And I asked him. I said, hey, I do a lot of theaters. What would you charge to be in my opening? He goes, Bobby, I'll do it for you for free. No. Show business. This is a business.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't know, $100, $200. I go, I'll give you $1,000. And I go, let's see how it works out, and I'll increase it. He did the first five, did great, did 20 minutes. Then yeah. I went up, and he was, and then he got Kevin Can Wait.
Yeah.
And now that show folded, and now.
Okay, I know who. Okay,
big
forget
tall
me.
Guy.
Yeah, great guy. Trying to put it together in my head.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the name. So you kind of helped discover the guy, helped move him along a little bit and give him some experience.
Well, then I'll give you an example. Then one day he couldn't do it. So I used this other guy. He couldn't do it one night.
Uh-huh.
I used a club comic.
Uh-huh.
Big difference.
Yeah.
And was she funny? Yes, but she kept looking down. And I go, honey, there's 1,200 people. You gotta... You know, she was playing to the first 10
yeah.
notes.
Yeah. And it's one of those things you'll definitely notice...
Yes.
If you watch a stand-up special,
there
if you watch
go.
Any type of televised
right.
stand-up, yeah. people will always be looking out past, and that's making a connection with the audience, like Bobby was explaining.
And that's
I think
what Mark said when he was on here, too. He looks for Mark comics that look at the guy who runs the place, Ippolito,
yeah.
that just
oh,
came with you.
Okay.
He said he looks for comics that look at the back wall, you know, that
gotta
don't
work
just
a room.
Stare at the,
that's yeah, exactly
the,
it.
The first few people.
You know, enjoy yourself. In comedy clubs, it's easy, because, like here, tonight, I'll work on my new stuff.
Yeah.
Work. This is what they're for, comedy clubs. Have a wonderful time.
That's awesome, folks. Get your tickets. You're going to have a good time
it's
tonight.
Fun.
Bobby's
yeah.
going to let it loose.
Oh, God.
CarlsonComedy.com. Get your tickets for that. So, okay, your theaters, huge music venue share. Will you please tell me a Frank Sinatra story? I've been waiting to ask you this all day. Could you tell me a Frank Sinatra story?
You've been waiting all week.
Yeah, I kind of have. I'm kind of a nerd with Sinatra.
I put one. Are you a big fan?
I love Sinatra. I really
we
do.
Both, we both
I can't
big,
say big
both,
fan, but I go deep.
See, my wife's Italian from Italy. Hairy,
mm-hmm.
hairy woman. She, we vacuum a lot.
Just like a mom.
You know, right? People think we have cats. No, I'm kidding. When the kids were young, they were making wigs. No, stop it. She loves Frank Sinatra. You know
yeah.
that. I look at it as
it's
a job.
It's kind of in your genes.
It's not in my genes.
Yeah.
It was a job. They go, Bob.
Not in his Calvins.
There was a guy, right. There was a guy who opened for him. What's his name? He was his regular opening act. I forget his
for
name.
Sinatra.
Yeah. He got sick. And
yeah.
they asked me when I was with Cher after I was closing down with her, hey, Bobby, can you go over and we're going to fly a private jet to Salt Lake City, open for Sinatra. I go, how much? Business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from New York. And they told me, I go, oh, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And they go, two nights. I go, no problem. I flew over. I went over there. And Jilly is big guy.
Yeah.
Runs
mm-hmm.
it. I don't know.
Yeah.
6'6 guy. Six,
Jilly
six.
Is like
it's his,
famous.
Yeah.
From
I
just
don't know.
Being Sinatra's body guy,
yeah,
wasn't he?
He goes, okay, don't call him Frank Sinatra. Call him Mr. Sinatra. I go, okay. You know, you play the game. I'm
yeah.
getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a job. And then I go into the main area, and he's there, Sinatra, with about 7-10 guys. And they're all named after parts of the body. Bobby, this is Greedo the foot. Tony the arm. Hi, Mr. Arm. Hi, Mr.
Billy the thumb.
I don't give a shit, you know?
Hey, this is Tommy work. Taint over here in the
right.
corner. Don't worry about him.
See what I mean?
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and the phones are ringing. And I hear him, they're going, hey, boss, what's the name? From Hoboken. You remember it was a strip club? He'd give her two tickets. You know, he would
You're kidding.
Direct everything. And then all of a sudden the phone rang, and I'm just sitting there watching him. Phone rang, and I could hear the guy going, we need the substar, the opening act. Substar to come down for a sound check. He goes, he's a comic. Just put the fucking sound on. And he hung up and he goes, you okay with that? No problem.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, no problem. Up?
He's a comic. Just turn the right. fucking put sound the on.
Yeah. And then afterwards, I did the show. I went upstairs. I did 25 minutes. I went upstairs and Jilly came in and he goes, hey, did a good job. I go, thanks. He goes, I was changing. He goes, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the local comedy club in Salt Lake City. I'll be the big shot.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, boss wants to know if you want to have dinner with us tonight in Chicago. I go, no, I'll take a flight over tomorrow and I'll meet you over. He goes, maybe you didn't hear me. I go, let's go. No yeah, problem. Let's we flew on his private jet.
So Sinatra asked you out to dinner and you hesitated.
Yeah. Because I'm not. Come on.
I got to be honest with you. I think I'd be the same way.
Right.
See I think I'd mean? Be the same
oh,
way.
No, I'd be,
like,
I'd be
as much as I that. Love to sit there and just watch a legend mean? Like that, just to see what's going on, as much as I love to peep what's going on in the scene, I don't think I'd want to sit there and eat with him. That guy was crazy.
So then they gave him a police escort wherever he was. We went in as private.
Why, though? That's what I don't understand.
Care. No traffic. And we got to
it's
the
Salt
airport.
Salt Lake City. What's going to happen to him?
Private plane.
Are they going to convert him to the airport, the way to the airport?
We went to Chicago, an hour and 10-minute drive. Limousines pick us up. We go to the pump room.
Okay.
In Chicago, great place. It's like 1 o'clock at night, 12:31. The 12 of us come in, sit down. I'm like, oh, God, I'm not really that hungry. I don't want to eat. You know, I got to stay, watch my weight. And next thing you know, Rickles comes walking in.
Okay.
They're buddies.
Yeah.
He comes over to me, shakes my hand. I go, oh, pleasure to meet you. He goes, hey, he really likes you. I heard you did a great job. I go, thanks. You know,
wow.
Comic. And then that was it. Then I ended up doing 3 more weeks with him.
Okay, so can you... I like to paint a picture. Well, you're sitting there with Rickles and Frank. Yeah. What's the conversation at the table? I mean, what are they
oh,
even talking about?
Fucking around.
Just it. Just hanging
just
around.
Just fucking around. Yeah. Like guys like us. Just yeah. bullshit.
What a lifestyle this guy had. With yeah. the, I mean, he was a singer, and he's getting police escorts.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Wow.
I was like, and then, believe it or not, when he died.
We did a tight 10 at his funeral.
We got a...
he left him the jet.
Right. We got a formal invitation to come. I go, I'm not yelling. My wife, Bubby, you have to go. I ain't going. They take license plates numbers, you know.
Right.
I saw the Godfather.
That's hysterical.
And I didn't. Yeah, that I might have skipped. I think, yeah, for the
but
same
I met
reason.
His kids, and yeah. it was nice. And they
so your wife really likes the story, I bet. She really likes that you opened for
it's
Frank.
It's coming in my new book.
Okay.
Fun Stories from the Road.
No fooling. When is that coming out?
Oh, I got to finish it. I have about 9 chapters done. I figured maybe another 4 or 5 months.
Wow, congratulations. Nice.
Yeah,
we'll
the
keep
one
an
I
eye
first
out for
did
that.
Became a bestseller, so yep. it was nice.
Yeah.
And that's available right now wherever fine books
yeah.
are sold. You can
and
get it right now.
I brought some with me into the...
Even better yet, come and get one autographed by Bobby.
I opened Monday night at the Hard Rock Casino in Atlantic City.
How was it?
I opened.
No, he's going.
Oh, I'm yeah, so yeah. sorry. Yeah. I thought you said you opened last Monday night.
No,
I misheard you.
He's going there.
I'm the worst today. So I got to ask you this, Bobby. That Cher show, was that the most intimidated you ever been going out doing a show?
No. One time I did a club in Queens, New York, and they were all police officers, and they were assholes. And I walked out to do the show, and they were ay, 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 loud with them, trying to outdo themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to, you know, I'm a professional comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Please listen. Let's have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just punks. You know, because it was their night to be brotherly and hang out and to be...
And you're worried you say the wrong thing, your taillights are going to be broken and so's your nose kind
no,
of thing?
I wasn't worried about that. I yeah. was worried about grow up. They were punks. You know,
yeah.
they weren't... if you hire someone to come and perform...
Yeah, be respectful and pay
yes.
attention. Yeah.
Interesting. So...
Stay high.
The good old cops.
Stay high.
So, Bobby... I got to ask you this question.
You got to.
When I do. I need to know. Your rise is just talking to you and learning a little bit about how this happened was so quick from going from playing a club to making $500,000 opening for Cher
right.
and doing that stuff. did you feel like you had a mark on your back from other comics? Were other comics, like, mad at you for this?
It's funny you say that. But when I first... I was working little clubs.
Yeah.
And then one day, there was a club called Good Times on 34th Street. Little shithole.
Yeah.
Me, a bunch of guys you know. And all of a sudden, the owner called me over. He was sitting with Rick Newman, who was the owner of Catch a Rising Star.
Right.
And Rick introduced himself, and I said, hi, nice to meet you. I didn't know he was. He goes, hey, would you consider working over at my club? I go, what's your club? He goes, Catch a Rising Star. We could use another MC, and with your personnel. I go, absolutely, that's the club in New York, yeah, yeah. You know.
Right.
And he said, okay, when do you want to start? I go, when can I? He goes, how about Monday? And I went there, and I was going to MC the first show, and that's when they used to have a piano player on stage at every comedy mm-hmm. show to bring up that. And I remember Bill Maher was the other MC
uh-huh.
and another lady who has since passed. And these people were just not nice.
Really?
They were like, I do 2 or 3 minutes, bring you up.
Yeah.
Do 2 or 3 minutes. And they go, hey, what are you doing? What do you mean? I go,
they're getting mad for doing
they go,
time.
Just bring the comics right up. I go, then why am I here if I can't yeah. practice and do what I am?
You can do that from a microphone in the back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I continued to do what I did, which eventually brought people in to see me.
Yeah.
And I did well. So, yeah, there was a lot of crap from other comics because of it. And then when I went on to do other things, but again, you know, there's an old saying I look at as true, that if someone doesn't like me, it's my spirit brings out their demons, and that's they have to deal
wow.
with it, not me.
So I'm going to ask you this, but you that's don't have to answer. I'm just going to I'm just gonna watch your face when I ask this question. You don't have to answer. Bill Maher's a dick, yeah? Okay. That's all I needed to know. Just asking.
Now we
just
see each other at different events. We say hi.
Okay. That's all. Fair enough. I love the art of the non-answer. That should be the name of your book.
Never say anything bad about others. Keep moving.
Obviously.
It's not stay high.
Yeah. Definitely don't fall into my stupid traps. Yeah, that Bill Maher. Let me tell you about what an asshole he is.
You know, you'll know. You know, you can look in people, you know, and know.
Right.
You know, I'm still surprised people. You know, I grew up in New York, so you could look in the subway when I was a little kid. And you'd look at people and you could look in their eyes and go, oh my God, this guy's coming off like this and that, but he's hiding so much about himself. Why do people do that? You know, you question things.
Really?
That's why you when look I stand on a stage, if it's in a club, you know who to talk to or laugh with because they're open and
yeah, you can
not that person.
It
are you a comic?
It, yeah.
Then you know.
Yeah barely.
It is a bit of psychology.
That's all
like,
it. That's
just
all
judging somebody's face.
Right.
When you first get up on stage, scan the first three O's and be like, okay, that guy might be a problem. You know.
And that's like a natural gift for you, huh?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I think so. You know, when Trump became president, me and Celine Dion performed at the White House.
Yeah.
At his inauguration. And
how was it?
Money doesn't discriminate. I'm a business guy. I went and made my money. He's been a fan of mine for 22 years.
Interesting.
Oh, I...
So you're telling me, like...
This guy is the president of the United States. He should be on 42nd Street. Keep your eye on the red card. Keep your eye on the red card. People don't see that. I'm still amazed how places I've played around this country and the world that you can't even see on television somebody that's full of shit. I'm amazed that people can't see that.
When did you first meet him?
Oh, God. Matter of fact, I got a call from John Hart recent, like 2 weeks ago, because he goes, Bobby, that guy Epstein, whatever his
yeah,
name is.
Yeah.
He goes, they used to come see you with Trump.
Oh!
And Trump would try to always ask.
Don't
this
tell
is 20, 25 years.
Don't tell
So, one more time for me. I didn't hear you. What did you say he did? 25 years ago, they used to come
John
together.
John called up because, Bobby, can you believe Epstein about that thing about I go like this? Yeah, I don't remember. He goes, Bobby, he used to come see you a lot with Trump, but Trump used to want the better seats, and Epstein always sat in the back, but Trump was always big on which seat I'm sitting at.
Right.
Front.
Well, you got to keep the underage girls at the back
of
the room.
I know. But I've known Donald. I've worked in all his casinos, and you know, I mean...
You obviously, you're business first. You know buts about that. But was there any type of like personal relationship with a guy like that? Just when you see him and you're hired?
We've known each other. We've known he's a big
social stuff
fan of mine. No.
Okay.
I wouldn't mingle with someone like that. I don't like people like that.
Okay. Is it the money that bothers you?
Because
you don't seem to like people who worship money.
I worked in Mar-a-Lago a year later.
Okay. It seems to me like you kind of have a pet peeve with people who like care about money a lot.
If money is your God, then you have no soul.
Okay.
There's a lot of things left in life. Integrity. I have a special needs daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's opened up my heart huge. And it's all about honesty, integrity, all the things we grew up with, or at least I did. And when you don't see that in other people, they're losing. And ones that use money as your, you know, where you sit in the restaurant, what kind of car you drive, the house you live in, and you talk about money, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Sorry, you have no soul. That's the only thing about that. And California is a lot of that.
Yeah. That's some straight up biblical stuff right there. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's just the kind of stuff I heard all the time as a kid. Don't worship money. Don't chase money. And you're not wrong.
See?
You're not wrong.
When you come across it a lot, you don't want to be around it.
If money makes you have no soul, I'm all soul.
He's no money, but look at his heart. Where's it on his sleeve?
Soul, baby.
Well, I people have said my heart is enlarged. Like, so, you know, I guess maybe.
That's a medical condition.
Oh, okay.
That's different.
You take pills for that.
Oh, man. Do they make you rich? So you kind of know Trump a little bit. When you go and you play the White House, is that the first time you ever did the White House? What's that like, walking up to that place?
No, I played for the Clintons.
Oh, for the Clintons.
It's
okay.
My second time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Matter of fact, my wife, Bobby, you can get a lot of jobs. Don't do your political stuff. I go, honey, you got to tell the truth. You're a comic.
Yeah.
I remember, I go, I'll tone it down. I remember as soon as they introduced me, I went, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new president of the United. They went nuts. I go, I guess orange is the new black. They went nuts.
Oh, geez.
And I opened it up.
He's sitting there. Did he laugh?
Afterwards, he came over to me and said, good show, Bobby. And I started to crack up. I said, thank you, Mr. President. Like, you're the fucking president? Are you out of your fucking mind? You should be on 42nd Street. And then he said to me, can I ask? And he had his boys around him. We represent the Lollipop Guild. You know, it's
right.
36 of them have been indicted.
Yeah.
Talk about the swamp. This guy brought the Everglades in. And he asked me, he goes, Bobby, can I? I go, sure, what? He goes, did you vote for me? I said, I would have rather voted for El Chapo.
You said that to him.
Yeah.
You said that to the now president of the
United States.
Bobby Collins has the biggest balls on the planet, ladies and gentlemen.
You're a comic. You get paid to have fun.
Okay, so the reaction to
he didn't laugh.
I'll bet
he did. His boys laughed. He gave me the look like, but I came back Mar-a-Lago about a year later, March.
I'd have rather voted for El Chapo.
Hey, look, you're making it like I'm brave.
You're making a joke.
Job.
I get it. But let me tell you something.
The sitting president of the United
It's the
States.
Sitting president. But you sitting there making...
Not,
even that face makes you brave.
People don't see it. Remember, dumb people don't know they're dumb.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
I was just in Birmingham, Alabama. And
they don't know they're dumb.
They don't.
My wife married me, and she's from there,
not that high up on Brain Mountain.
No.
You talk to him, he's like, why don't you roll your head around so I can hear that marble going around and around?
When they just bobble their heads, it sounds like a spray paint can.
1,200 of them. I was teasing them. And you have an obligation.
They have buildings big enough to seat 1,200 people in Alabama?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
what did you play, the Stardome?
No, what was the Stardome?
Isn't the comedy Stardome?
Place.
Yeah, isn't it? Or you played a theater, I take
it.
Yeah. But I just know that's a really large club. It's like 500 seats or something like that. I don't know. I don't really, I do spend time in Birmingham. It's a weird place, yeah.
Why?
My wife is from Alabama.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. I'm Brad Pitt in Alabama, Bobby.
Where was I recently? Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Alabama Light. Alabama at the beach.
These people didn't win at genetic roulette. They,
no.
They still show it off like they did.
Oh, wow.
So there's a big difference between the beaches in Myrtle and the beaches in Santa Monica, eh?
Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
Yeah. You're Daytona welcome. Beach.
And in Tel Aviv. I just got back from Israel, so Tel Aviv's gorgeous.
Is it really?
Most beautiful women in the world.
What'd you do in Tel Aviv?
I did 7 theaters, 8 shows.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, I'm really honored that you like would take the time to talk to us today, because I am obviously a big fan.
Oh.
Nothing but respect. I mean,
I
serious. 3 shows this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
These are your chances to catch a legend in town.
Oh, yeah.
And can't usually see him in a small venue like this.
You usually cannot go to a 300-seat. You're not going to see Bobby play clubs. You don't get the opportunity to see club work, Bobby.
I enjoy it.
People like theater work. People get to see theater, Bobby. You don't get to see club work, Bobby, that often
now
anymore.
Now I go to Casino Bobby.
Casino Bobby.
Monday night.
Luckiest mother hucker in the room. we'll be back with the news, but come see Bobby this weekend. Thank you very much for coming
Thanks
in and talking to
it.
Us.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Nice meeting you guys.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I want to say thanks to our great friends. How about Chef Joe over at Sapori Cafe and Catering? They're located inside of the Powers Building Atrium downtown and have the best lunch specials you're going to find in Rochester. And to top it off, they can cater your very own special event. Visit at Sapori Rochester on Instagram and find them on Facebook for more information. You could also check out our good friends over at Three Heads Brewing. Jeff and the boys over there make the finest beers you're going to find this side of the Genesee River. And they also have an amazing, amazing brewery with live music just about every night of the week. Check out threeheadsbrewing.com for more information there. And we also want to say thanks to our friends at Iron Smoke Whiskey. Always remember to drink responsibly, but they make delicious stuff. They make Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey and a traditional Applewood Smoked Whiskey. Visit ironsmokewhiskey.com or you can visit their tasting room on Parse Avenue in Fairport. So, thanks, sponsors. Now it's time for a show. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for my favorite segment, the one before we go home, stand-up news with Ross Johnson.
It's never not funny. Hey, everybody.
It's always not funny.
Good morning.
Dude, you are so happy today.
I'm in a good mood.
You are in a good mood because you finally got your She-Ra action figures.
I got my She-Ra dolls, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine. We can say it.
It's okay.
They've got long, flowy hair and, you know.
And you get to braid it.
I get to braid it. Yeah, I mean, She-Ra's going to go into battle. She's got to have something practical. So.
And now
she has to look good.
No one is around to tell you you're not allowed.
No one can tell me I'm not allowed.
Was the thing when you were a kid? You were not allowed to have any toys that have braidable hair?
There was a point at which,
Middle Eastern does something, they're a terrorist. Black person does something, they're gang related, they're a thug. But if a white guy walks into a church killing 9 people dead, what do they lead with them?
It was both the saddest and funniest thing I ever heard in my life.
What was your dad's name?
9 people.
Richard.
It's always a lone gunman.
What was
gunman.
Your mom saying?
Yeah, a lone gunman with no ties.
God damn it, Donna!
Whatsoever. They always separate him as quickly as possible. I love how they do that. He kept to himself and was notoriously...
I could just...
That's the lesson, though. That's the lesson. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So Titus Burgess, who's one of the stars of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, was on the Andy Cohen show.
He's great.
Mm-hmm. Which one is he on there?
Titus Burgess?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's great on that show.
I don't remember.
Mm.
I haven't seen it in a while. But he's on the show.
It's that guy.
So he was on Andy Cohen.
Titus, the one whose character is his actual name.
I don't remember.
Okay.
So Titus Burgess is in the new forthcoming Eddie Murphy movie, Dolomite Is My Name. Andy Cohen. This is the part that gets confusing for me. So Andy Cohen, and you know, if you want to at home, you can catch the video and see it up and check it out. So Andy Cohen was like, oh, did you get to chat him up at all? They were sort of talking about Eddie Murphy for a second, and he should have won the Oscar for Dreamgirls and blah blah blah. And Andy Cohen was like, "Did you get to chat with him at all?" He was very problematic for the gays at one point when I was coming up. Titus Burgess is openly gay, so is Andy Cohen, obviously. Mm-hmm. And Titus Burgess got really upset about that. And he was doing some hand things, and he was talking to somebody off camera, and Andy Cohen was like, "What are you doing?" And then Titus Burgess later was on Instagram.
Defending Eddie Murphy.
Well, more saying, I mean, he, more sort of going after Andy Cohen. Yeah. In the context of this is he was sort of defending Eddie Murphy.
Defending Eddie Murphy is saying Andy Cohen shouldn't have said that.
Right, absolutely. Instagram, and then he went on the Wendy Williams show, and he was talking about saying some, you know, and I'm not a huge Andy Cohen fan. It was a little, if you watch the video, it's hard to quite see where the rage comes from, because it seemed sort of tame in the way that it was brought up, like, hey, you're gay, I'm gay, you're working with Eddie Murphy, what's that like? You know, he used to have this reputation, what's it like? You know, but turned into a big thing. So
that's really wild.
It's interesting that you brought that up.
It's a legit question to bring up.
It seemed to me,
especially if you're the presenter and you are also gay, it seems like a completely legitimate thing to bring up.
Yeah, and like maybe as a, I don't want to, you know, read too much into this, maybe as a black comedian, there's a little bit of, you know, Eddie Murphy's sort of a legend, maybe there's a little bit of a desire or willingness, especially if it's someone you've worked with, to protect his legacy. It seemed a little weird to me, but...
I have a feeling, you know, when you're in a movie with somebody, you obviously want it to do well, and you don't want to start a huge outlash of... don't support Eddie Murphy, which could very easily happen. I mean, it would not take 2 seconds. Delirious, yeah. I went back on Netflix, is the one that was on there. Go watch the first 10 minutes of Delirious.
Well,
and then tell me you don't think people are going to start a tweet storm over stuff Eddie Murphy does.
Well, and I like Eddie Murphy. I respect Eddie Murphy. I don't really have any issues with Eddie Murphy. Andy Cohen had written in his biography about how when he was younger, going to like an Eddie Murphy, before he was out, going to an Eddie Murphy show with his friends... and just, like, having to kind of shrink back the entire time and get very, like, uncomfortable and nervous. And it wasn't so much an attack on Eddie Murphy as, like, an example of the kind of thing, like, people doing this kind of material. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of reaction you can get without even realizing it.
So I guess the question is, I mean, is Titus upset that he thinks Andy Cohen is accusing him of giving Eddie Murphy a pass on all that stuff? Is that what it is?
Like, one of the things he said on Instagram, he said, and it seems to me like he's talking around things a little bit, so it's hard for me to pin down exactly what it is, but he says he should remember his talk show isn't an episode of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. It's a place where artists come to talk about art and have a little fun, not a place to rehash old rumors or bring a star negative press. He should learn how to do his job. He referred to Andy Cohen as a messy queen.
What?
Sass.
Well, again...
he has a baby at home. I'm sure he can't keep it together all the time.
I don't know. It also seems to me... and I don't want to pick on Titus Burgess here, because, again, I'm not 100% clear where he's coming from with it, but it also seems like it... yeah. So It's sort of become a little bit of a media thing where people are talking about Eddie Murphy's background a little bit more. So it's also making a big deal about it was maybe also not the best way to help Eddie Murphy if that was.
I think Eddie Murphy may have had a grand overall scheme of I'm not going to do anything for a really, really long time and I'll get a lot of money when I do. And then he didn't really count on the way culture would be at that point. So we got to get out of here this week. But thank you for watching the Comedy of the Carlson Cast. Great job, Ross.
Thank you.
We will be back next week. I'm very excited about that. Who's our guest next week, Brian?
Is it Joe DeRosa?
It is Joe DeRosa.
Yeah.
Joe DeRosa.
Yeah. One of us remembered this week.
We're not the worst. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you rate and review. Don't be a jerk. We will be back next week. Thank you. Good night.